Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we would love to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Do you have a question? Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, Christmas is a story about humility. God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. Talk about humility.
Yeah,
that is the quintessential definition of humility right there.
That's a big word, too.
Yes, it is. I'm surprised I got it out of my mouth. But oh, my goodness. But, yes, it is a story of humility. And, boy, it stands just head and shoulders above the pride and arrogance and hubris we see out there in the world.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's so unique. And it's a story that begins in our heart in exactly the same way. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so for us to really experience the grace of God, for us to experience new life in Jesus Christ, we need that attitude of humility as well. And Paul really defines that for us in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And I think so many people gloss over that. We try to emulate what Christ has done. Oh, we need to humble ourselves. We need to become humble. Well, here Paul is saying this attitude is already yours in Christ Jesus. He has put that in you. And that was his attitude, and he has put that attitude in you. Now, who, and he's talking about Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. And then he became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, he had all the prerogatives. I mean, he was a part of the Godhead. He was God the Son.
Yeah.
And yet he placed those qualities and characteristics on the back burner and became one of us. So he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's why God has highly exalted him and placed him at the right hand, at his right hand. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's a powerful, powerful passage. But it's really a passage and a story of humility. And I think that is so vitally important for us to understand. A lot of times we Christians will walk through this world, strut through this world with pride and arrogance,
sure,
thinking, wow, I must be special that God chose me. And the fact of the matter, that's all wrong. We were saved by grace. It was a gift. It was not of ourselves. The only qualification that we needed was to be dead in our sins, in our transgressions. That was all that we needed to offer to God, the fact that we were dead. And God took it from there.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, then that's when you become humble, that you have absolutely nothing to offer God. You have nothing that you can bring to the table, nothing that you can add to this great salvation that you receive. It all is a gift from God. And so when we understand what humility is all about, as we see it in Christ Jesus, then we're going to be able to experience the fullness of what he came to give us, and that is life everlasting, that is life abundant and free. So Christmas is a story of humility. It's an attitude that Christ had in himself. It's an attitude that we have in Christ Jesus. That's good news.
That is great news, and it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, we want to talk it over with you. Do you have a question? It's something you'd like to discuss? Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Of course, that number is available 24 hours a day for all of you, who, even those of you who listen to the late broadcast or a delayed broadcast. We would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel, so you can give a call and leave a voicemail. If you're not hearing the live broadcast, again, the number 844-322-2742. Friends, I want to remind you that now through the 15th, you'll automatically receive a 25% discount on any order from Basic Gospel. It's a great way to pick up a few gifts or stocking stuffers, all of which teach the grace of God. You can shop right now at store.basicgospel.net. We want you to take advantage of this 25% discount now through the 15th. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net. Also, a quick note that we're only 10 days away from the registration deadline for our trip to Israel. For information and registration, go to the website, basicgospel.net, and just click the Israel 2019 banner at the top of the homepage. Take a serious look, friends, and we hope you'll join Basic Gospel on this experience of a lifetime in the Holy Land. Again, all the information available online at basicgospel.net. Just click the link, Israel 2019, the banner at the top of the homepage, and we'd love to see you on that trip.
Yes, we would. It's going to be a fantastic trip. We have several spots still remaining, mm-hmm. and we want to fill those.
Yeah.
But we're taking a small group. We don't take a large group. We want you to be able to really absorb the land. Yeah. We want you to really take in the story mm-hmm. and to actually experience the story for yourselves. Big, huge groups that go over there, they struggle having yeah. that opportunity.
Right.
So with a single bus, with just a small group, with one of the best guides in Israel taking us through the land, mm-hmm. This is going to be truly a trip of a lifetime, worth the investment
yeah.
in your spiritual growth in Christ Jesus.
Well, once again, the website, basicgospel.net, the Israel 2019 banner is right at the very top of the homepage. All the information and an opportunity to register right there at basicgospel.net. We have a question from Tori. Tori says, I've learned from you that the only unforgivable sin is the sin of unbelief. But a friend pointed out Matthew 12:31 and Mark 3:29. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Please help us both understand. I thought Christ took all of our sins.
Well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of Christ Jesus. So what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees, well, they were saying that Jesus was doing the work of God, performing these miracles by the power of Satan.
Yeah.
Well, it was really the Spirit of God that was working through Jesus to bring about these incredible, miraculous events. And they were saying, no, that's Beelzebub. And so Jesus said, you can say things about me, you can say things about the Son of Man, but when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that is the unforgivable sin. Now, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit, as far as the lost world is concerned, is to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So this is John 16:7, 8, 9, somewhere around there in that passage. So the Holy Spirit goes out into the world and convicts the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. When it comes to sin, it's because the world does not believe in Jesus. So what is the Holy Spirit doing today? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It is to turn the hearts of unbelieving people toward Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So when you reject Jesus Christ, you're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're saying that's not from God.
Yeah.
That's from somewhere else. So that becomes the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the rejection of Jesus Christ. So the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin, those are one and the same. Richard, any thoughts on that?
I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, think about it in its simplest terms. If I reject Jesus, then I'm setting myself up as God. That's the only option.
Mm-hmm, right.
I reject all things that God has claimed about himself and demonstrated in Jesus. Therefore, I'm my own God. That is blasphemy.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Spirit, thank God, the Spirit attacks that tendency in each of us and says, you really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Consider Jesus.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, hope that's a help, Tori. Hope you're listening. Again, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast, we have an open line for you right now, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Willows, California, and talk with Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, brothers. I never want to think I kind of can get caught up in the Lone Ranger of interpreting Scripture and not yield to people who are more mature in Christ than me. I had a question that I'd been studying in Romans 8. Now, I began on King James, and it's what I've stuck with, so sorry for the thous and the thous. But in verse 19 of Romans 8, it says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Then in verse 20, it talks about this creature. It was made subject to vanity, but not willingly. Then in 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered. And then in 22, it says, the creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Now, I have two questions, and hopefully it'll help help the listeners. Does this have anything to do with, like, you know, because we all want to know, does our dog go to heaven or our cat or whatever? Or is this, I don't know. What I've come to so far is this is trees and oceans and mountains, but I don't know. Could you help me with that, guys?
Well, it's talking about creation in general. I mean, when Adam and Eve sinned, it thrust all of creation under the spell, under the curse. And so all of creation is waiting for that curse to be broken. Well, that's been broken in Christ Jesus. And now there's an expectation of experiencing the reality of that when he comes back and reveals himself. And we're going to be there. We're going to be there with him, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We see that at the end, and so all of creation is waiting for that moment. So now we look out there in the world and we see, death and decay everywhere, don't we? Not just in human beings, but we see it all throughout creation, in plant life, animal life, all of that. We see death and decay. That's a part of the curse, the power of sin and death. So the whole world, all of creation, is under that power. And one day that power is going to be broken in full, and creation is going to emerge out of that in a glorious way. And so that's what this passage is talking about.
Okay, that gives me a better foundation and kind of locks it in, guys. Thank you, and if I don't talk to you again, wish you a Merry Christmas, and everyone listening, Lord bless you, and Merry Christmas to you guys all.
Yeah.
Well,
too,
thank you, Joshua. We sure appreciate it, and
yes,
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel again with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. I had a question from Michelle. She says that she had a relationship that had broken up after about 6 years, and she doesn't understand why. It just suddenly happened, and she's asking God, why does this happen? Having trouble giving it over to him. Worries, anxiety, all of those things going through her mind, and she wants to know, what is the situation, and why can't she let go of it, and is it right to ask God why?
Well, it's right to ask God why.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might not get an answer back, the one that satisfies you, but it's okay to ask God why. That's part of the privilege of being a child of God. That's part of this relationship that we have. We can bring all things to God in prayer. And we can just share our hearts. We can share the frustrations of our hearts. That's right. We can share those frustrations. We can talk about the desires of our hearts. We can share with him anything. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get solid answers coming back to us as to why. But as far as a relationship is concerned, there's two people. You were in this relationship for a long time. And apparently the guy said this wasn't the relationship for him. Now, maybe it's so heartbreaking to you because you were getting some of your needs met there. And now that isn't happening. And so you're left hurting. You're left with some emotional scars and trying to figure out the why of that. And, you know, quite frankly, you just, you know, at some point you come down and say, hey, this was just his choice. Maybe there was somebody else that he was involved in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there could be all sorts of possibilities. But you have to realize at this point that you're not alone, that Jesus Christ is alive, living in you, and that nothing can separate you from his love. Now, don't judge God based on this relationship. A lot of times we do that. A lot of times we look at good circumstances and we say, oh, wow, God is just blessing the socks off of me.
Yeah.
And then we look at bad circumstances and we wonder, what did I do wrong? Why is God punishing me? Mm-hmm. So we're writing a narrative about God based on our circumstances. So I would encourage you not to do that. To let the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ tell you the story of God. And what that story is going to tell you is that nothing, this situation, this breakup, this heartbreak that you are going through right now does not separate you from the love of God. It doesn't mean that God has punished you. It simply means that you are going through a breakup. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the guy you were with decided to move on. Now, why? We don't know. So look to Jesus. Cling to him. Let him comfort you through this difficult situation.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, and we love hearing from you, our listeners. If you have a question, you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. If you view on Facebook or YouTube, well, you can pose a question either of those two ways. You can also call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. But right now, it's still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour. The program is live if you're hearing it at that time, and we want to hear from you. Still time on the clock, 844-322-2742. Friends, it's our hope to get this message out to as many people as possible by every means available, but we need your support to make that happen. And when you make your December gift, we'll send you a copy of our book, Love Is, a book that explains everything about the unfailing love of our God. We want you to have a copy when you make your gift this month. So just click donate at basicgospel.net. You'll find all of the several ways to make your gift, and again, that's basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. And a question right now from Tim, our good pastor friend in Indianapolis. He says, on a recent program, there were some questions about suicide. My question has to do with how to minister to the family of one who commits suicide. I've been fortunate as a pastor not to have been placed into this position, but in the event it would happen, how would you carefully approach the family? Maybe some of our pastors have that same question, some other pastors. Thank you. That's from Tim in Indianapolis.
Well, that's a really, really good question. And Tim, thank you for writing to us. And it's a very difficult situation. As a pastor, someone ministering to a grieving family, the grief in that situation is just amplified, intensified. And it's hard to find the words that are going to bring the right comfort. But here's what I've done, and Richard, you jump in on this as well. I go back and just find out what they knew about their loved one's relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And then I simply give the gospel, what the gospel answers as far as someone who is in Christ is concerned. For someone who is in Christ, they are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus Christ has already dealt with all sins. And that suicide was a sin that Jesus dealt with at the cross 2,000 years ago. And he took it away. He sent it as far as the east is from the west, away from that person. He cleansed that person. He declared that person righteous. And then he came to live inside of that person. Now, Jesus Christ has given us his life. and his life is an indestructible life. So even suicide is not going to destroy the life of Christ that is now our life. And so I think we need to recognize that. If somebody who they're not sure if they were in Christ, all you can do at that particular point is to say that God has given every opportunity for that person to receive. And you don't know what was going on in those last moments of his life. You don't know what was going on in the last month of that person's life that maybe they heard and maybe they received. You just don't know. But count on this. God's love was pursuing in such a powerful way that they had opportunity. So take comfort in the love of God. Mm-hmm. So for somebody who is in Christ, you simply express the gospel message. For somebody who wasn't in Christ, you express the love of Christ for that person.
Yeah.
And in both of those, there's comfort that can be had.
Yeah, as a pastor, and especially if this is one of your parishioners, you're going to get to go through all of the stages of grief with these people. You know, so there's going to be the denial part of it, and then there's going to be anger and all the rest of that. And this gospel that we're talking about, this good news that for a child of God, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, is vital, because at some point the parents are going to blame themselves. And you've got to be able to pull them back from that self-condemnation and say, no, this just happened. It's awful, but it happened, and it's not your fault. And dealing with each stage of the grieving process from the standpoint of truth, whether it's the truth about their son or daughter, or it's the truth about them, or the truth about their family, take them through it step by step. One of the best things you can do is just be there.
Yeah. Yes.
Just be there.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of your presence.
Yeah.
You may not have to say anything. Just being there is a powerful, powerful way to bring comfort to people going through such horrible and painful grief.
Yeah, because the form of the death exacerbates the reactions to the death. And so kind of be there and absorb that stuff, but hang in there with them.
Yes, yes.
I just read a statistic today that during calendar year 2017, something over 47,000 people had committed suicide in the U.S. alone. And a lot of these are young people. And statistically, they say that leading up to those individual deaths, that the issue was hopelessness. People had lost hope. And I just say, that's what Basic Gospel is all about. We're here to offer hope. We're hoping that people will hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, hopelessness is the thing that people lose. I mean, they lose hope. They become hopeless. And when you're hopeless, man, it's just dark. It's the only way they can think to escape is to end it all. And that is so tragic and so sad. But it's this gospel message that brings hope, that delivers someone from their hopelessness.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that is true about those who are contemplating suicide, oftentimes the last place they turn is radio.
Yeah.
They will turn on the radio, scan the dial, just seeking for a voice that might bring comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just seeking for a message, a word, something that will put a ray of light into their dark situation. And so we have this great opportunity to be there for people in their state of hopelessness so that they can receive hope in Jesus Christ.
We would love to have your support to keep this good news going and offer help to people who are facing that situation of hopelessness. Go online, friends, to basicgospel.net, click that donate tab, and help us keep this message going. We would love to have your partnership at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.